إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 11th session from the book, yani today known as Al-Wasiyya Al-Sughra, the concise legacy or advice for uprightness of the religious and worldly life, by Shaykh al-Islam Taqiyuddin Abu al-Abbas Ahmed ibn Abd al-Halim ibn Abd al-Salam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. Before we enter into our topic this evening, which is a continuation of what we started with last week, yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's answer to the question related to the most important or the best of voluntary deeds after completing obligatory duties, this is the topic that we want to continue with this evening. Before that, we want to look at some of the issues that we dealt with last week, just quickly, from the questionnaire study guide number 10. The first question being, what was the second question addressed here by the author, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, from Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti rahimahullah? Yani, what was the second question? Yani, it's not the second question in the order that the questions came in, but it's the second question the Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah addressed here. What was the second question? Now, Ahmed.
مَا أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالِ بَعْدِ
الْفَرَائِضِ. Naam. Yani, that Abu Qasim al-Sibti, rahimahullah, asked Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah to bring to his attention, yani, what is the best of good deeds after the obligatory duties? Yani, if one has completed the obligatory duties, so what is best after that from voluntary good deeds? The second question related to the first, what can we understand from the wording of this question? Yani, the wording of the question, yani, وَيُنَبِّهَنِي عَلَى أَفْضَلِ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَاتِ بَعْدَ الْفَرَائِضِ بَعْدَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ. Yani, what can we understand from the wording of this question about how the early generations, the Salaf al-Salih, viewed al-wajibat in Islam? Naam, Ibrahim.
It shows that they view the wajibat as they took preference over any other deeds.
Naam, that the wajibat to them, yani, took precedence over other deeds. Naam. Anything else? Naam.
That it had a magnificent station, a lofty status.
That it had a magnificent station, the makana, yani, the station of obligatory deeds was very high amongst these people. Very high, lofty, yani, it had the highest status that one can imagine. Now,
better yet, they should begin. You should begin with that.
Yani, that one begins with the wajibat before looking at other things. This is what you start with. This is what you give attention to. This is what you give care to. First and foremost, the obligatory duties. Before you start looking at other virtuous deeds that are not obligatory, before you even look at them, no precedence should be given to a virtuous, yani, honorable, noble, voluntary deed until first one's full attention has been given to the fulfillment of the obligatory duties. And this is very important. They saw it like this because that's the way it really is. Because the obligatory deeds, this is what we are responsible for. This is what we will be called to account for. This is what we will be punished for if we don't fulfill them. As far as voluntary deeds, if a person didn't do it, then there will be no sin against them. But they will lose out, of course, on the extra, yani, reward. Question number 3 mentioned the saying of the scholars concerning one who occupies himself with voluntary deeds at the expense of the wajibat. Musa. I'm sorry, Mustafa. Let's give Mustafa priority. He has seniority, right?
Whoever busies himself with the voluntary voluntary deed at the expense of the wajibat is misled.
Naam. Whoever busies himself with voluntary deeds at the expense of the obligatory deeds, this person is misled. Naam. You want to add to that, anybody? Naam, Musa.
He is deceived.
Deceived, misled, naam, yes?
He's also said, وَمَنْ اِشْتَغْلَ عَلِ الْفَرْضِ عَلِ النَّفْلِ وَهُوَ مَعْذُورٌ.
No.
Whoever busies himself with the fara'id, the obligatory acts over the nawafil, then he is excused.
Naam, the person who occupies or busies themselves with an obligatory duty at the expense of the voluntary deed, this person is ma'adhur. Yani the opposite, that person is maghroor. Yani lost, deceived. But the one who busies himself with obligatory duty, even though it prevents him, yani from doing some voluntary deed, then this person is ma'adhur. They are excused. And this is very important to keep this in mind, so that we put things in their proper perspective. Question number 4, summarize the hadith known as Hadith al-Wali, and discuss why it is known by this description. Yani summarize the hadith known as Hadith al-Wali, the Hadith Qudsi that's reported by al-Bukhari. Naam. Naam, Sheikh, Tum. Naam. Yani, whoever takes enmity towards a wali of mine, then I have announced war with him. That person is at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first part. And none of my servants came near to me with anything more beloved to me than what? That which I have made obligatory upon him. Yani, the most beloved thing that brings a person near to Allah is the obligatory duties. Naam. Naam. And this part of the hadith also is critical for our discussion from last week, and that is that the abd, the worshipper of Allah, continues to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing voluntary deeds until Allah loves him. Naam. And where were you at? Oh yeah, if I love him, then I become the hearing with which he hears, and the sight with which he sees, and the hand with which he strikes, and the feet with which he walks. And if he asks me for something, then I would definitely, yani in the affirmative, yani ta'keed, I would definitely give it to him. And if he seeks refuge in me, then I will yani grant him refuge. And this is not the summary of the hadith, this is the whole hadith. Jazakallah khair. Very important hadith. Naam, and I think last week when I read the hadith in the class, I was reciting it really from my memory, and I think one of the brothers brought it to my attention, but it wasn't clear at the moment. I went back and checked it. I read part of the hadith, yani the end of the hadith, wa in ista'adha bi, I read it bi with ba, and actually when I look back in Bukhari it's wa in ista'adha ni, yani la'u'idhannahu, and probably I memorized it like that mistakenly, so when I was reading it, I was really reading it from my memory, and I recited it with bi instead of yani ni. Yani the meaning is the same, but yani just for clarification on this point of the hadith. Now, question number 5, discuss the first level of the awliya of Allah in this hadith, including why it is known as darajatul muqtasideen. Yani the first level of the awliya of Allah. Naam, Shu'ayb.
They fulfill what is obligatory on them and refrain from what is forbidden.
Naam, those are the people who what? Who guard, who protect yani diligently those things which are obligatory. And they avoid all of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram. Yani al-muhafaza ala al-fara'id wa al-bu'd ala al-muharramat. And this, yani this level, this first level is known as darajatul muqtasideen. Yani why? What is the meaning? Why muqtasideen here? Naam. Jamil? Abu Jamil?
Huh?
Because they take the middle course. Yani meaning that they do what is the bare minimum. يعني like اقتصاد right مقتصد يعني they take that which is يعني mandatory the obligatory duties they fulfill them and the haram things they avoid them but they don't go further يعني for something extra نعم but they don't let any obligatory duty pass them by nor do they engage in anything that is haram. Question number 6. Discuss the second level of awliya of Allah in this hadith, including why it is known as darajat al-muqarrabin. Darajat al-muqarrabin. Naam. Naam.
There are those that yuhafidun al faraid and they abstain from the muharramat, and also they increase in them and they race towards doing what is the nawafil.
Now, after fulfilling the obligatory duties and avoiding that which is haram, they go above and beyond that. They race towards what? Extra good deeds. To get nearer to Allah by doing voluntary good deeds. Nearer. يعني وما يزال يتقرب يعني the abd continues to get near. بن نوافل. This is known as the what? مقربون. Or درجة المقربين. نعم. Because they continue to get near. And this is mentioned يعني in the second part of the hadith, and the first part of the hadith is the mentioning of guarding the obligatory duties. Question number 7. Memorize the ayat of the Quran which mentions these two levels of the true awliya of Allah in the Quran in 35th surah, Fatir, and ayat 32. Anybody in the back? A lot of people in the back. Surah Fatir. Naam. Fadl.
ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله ذلك هو الفضل الكبير
نعم يعني the meaning of this ayat is what?
They are those who we inherited the book
يعني we have given as inheritance the book يعني the Quran they are those who we have given as inheritance the Quran the book
from our slaves
from our chosen servants slaves worshippers نعم
from them are those who oppress themselves
Some of them, those who wrong their own selves, oppress their own selves, yani do dhulm by committing sin or failing to do the obligatory duties. They fail to do some of the obligatory duties, or they engage in some of the things that's haram. That's dhalim li nafsi. One who has wronged his own self, oppressed his own self. Naam. And from them are the muqtasid, who take the middle course. They don't engage in haram. And they don't fail, they don't leave off any obligatory duty.
From them are those who are foremost in doing good, bi-idhnillah, by the permission of Allah.
And some of them are the foremost in doing good, يعني سابقون بالخيرات bi-idhnillah, by the permission of Allah. Foremost in doing good, meaning they fulfill the obligatory duties and they go above and beyond that by doing extra things that are pleasing to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get nearer and nearer and nearer to Him. And question number 8, mentioned the first evil of those who falsely claim to be amongst the awliya of Allah and their false supporting argument. What is the first evil that the Shaykh mentioned? Al-Sawa al-Ula. Now, Abu Jamil.
That they leave off and abandon the obligatory duties.
That they leave off and abandon obligatory duties. Now, they abandon obligatory duties. Claiming what?
Yani
claiming that they reach yaqeen. Yani meaning what? What's the basis of reaching yaqeen? Why are they saying that? Misinterpretation of what Allah said in the Quran? وعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين. يعني worship your Lord. Continue to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the yaqeen comes to you. They said, "Well, I have reached the level of yaqeen, so I don't need to worship Allah anymore." And they abandon obligatory duties to the extent that some of them, as the Shaykh said, might be in the masjid with their followers, and while the people are praying, they're standing, leaning on a pole. And if they ask why they didn't pray, they said, "Because, yani I have no need for it. I have already reached the level of yaqeen." We mentioned that Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned his tafsir, the meaning of yaqeen here is al-maut, yani worship Allah until death overcomes you. And the last question discussed the utterly outrageous claim that the station, that they claim, that the station of these so-called awliya is too high to go to Mecca for tawaf. Yani what did the Shaykh say about this matter? Now, now. Rather, the Kaaba comes to them. Their status is so high, yani it's beneath them to go to Mecca to make tawaf. Rather, the Kaaba comes to them. And the Shaykh mentioned some discussion from some of the books of fiqh of these people of deviation and misguidance and ignorance. The fiqh issue that they claim yani, as a fiqh issue, well, what if the Kaaba yani goes somewhere to make tawaf around the awali? So what do the people have to do? And they said that what? The first opinion, al-qawl al-awl min ahl al-ilm, and they said what? That the first one, they said they should pray towards the direction of the Kaaba, because that's the asl, yani that you should pray towards the direction where the Kaaba normally is. And the other, because they said they don't know where the Kaaba is, so what are they going to do? Other people said no, they have to do what? They have to find, they have to ask, question and search until they find it. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. This shows the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, in that He has guided us, yani to right guidance and clear guidance, and open our eyes so that we can see truth and distinguish it from falsehood. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to continue with this question related to the best of voluntary deeds after the obligatory deeds. And just to remind us, yani, of the question that we read last week, and it's pretty much in its entirety, or at least most of it, so we put things in focus, especially if somebody's here with us tonight for the first time and they were not here last week. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, as for that which you asked about concerning the best of voluntary deeds after the fara'id, I'm repeating the question from last week so that we can put it in focus. He said that indeed the people differ. Yani, there's difference between the people in terms of what is the best of voluntary deeds after the obligatory deeds due to what? Yani, the difference in the people concerning their ability. What the people, different people have different abilities, and also ma yunasib awqatahum, yani that which is suitable, appropriate or best, yani in terms of their time, or the time that they are yani thinking to do that deed in. So it is not possible to give a complete, comprehensive, detailed answer for every individual, because people differ in terms of their ability, and people differ in and things differ in terms of the times. Yani something may be better than something else at a different time. However, what is considered like an ijma' consensus amongst the scholars of Allah and the scholars of the command of Allah is that adhering to, sticking to the remembrance of Allah all the time is the best of what an abd can busy themselves with in general, overall. And then he mentioned two evidences, the hadith of Abu Huraira, reported by Imam Muslim, that the mufarridun, that they have outdone everyone else, and they asked, who is the mufarridun? He said, those men and women who remember Allah much. And the hadith reported by Abu Dawud from Abu Ad-Darda radiallahu anhuma, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he mentioned, and we'll discuss this hadith tonight. Shall I not inform you of the best of your deeds and the most pure of them with your king, and the one that will raise you to the highest degrees, to the end of the hadith? He mentioned that. And then he said, and the evidences from the Quran and the dalail al-imaniya, yani the evidences that yani are with the people of iman in terms of yani what they see and what they witness and what they are informed us of and what they yani understand from contemplation and reflection are many, many yani that prove the excellence and superiority of dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. And the least of this, yani the Shaykh says, yani so that a person may be from amongst those yani mufarridin or the dhakirun Allah kathira wa dhakirat, is that a person sticks to those words of remembrance that yani are fixed in certain times, like the adhkar in the morning and the evening, and at the time of going to sleep and waking up, and so on. And those adhkar that are particular to certain situations or circumstances, like getting dressed and getting undressed and waking up in the morning, going to sleep and going to the bathroom, coming out of the bathroom, to the end of what he said about that. And he said there are books concerning this, and then he said that there are also adhkar, yani al-adhkar al-mutlaqa, yani that are not fixed to any particular occasion or circumstance or place or time, but rather that a person remembers Allah yani in general, and the best of them is to say La ilaha illallah. And there are certain circumstances in which other of the adhkar may be better than even saying La ilaha illallah in certain occasions or situations or circumstances. And we mentioned this last week. And the end of his answer concerning the best of deeds, yani we didn't mention last week, and inshallah we're not going to cover that part this week, so I'll save it for the next session bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. The Shaykh begins here, that is Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, saying, therefore, the questioner who has been given success, yani in his question, has asked from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to make clear to him the voluntary duties which are more beloved, which are most beloved, which are mustahab for the Muslim to give care and attention to them after the obligatory duties. I'm sorry, I didn't mention where we are reading from today. So let me just and he mentioned the page. If somebody is following us in the Arabic and the explanation of Sheikh Abdul Razak, then we're going to start on page 46. And he, in the middle of the page, where it says, فَإِذَنْ هَذَا السَّائِلُ الْمُوَفَّقُ طَلَبَ مِنْ شَيْخِ الْإِسْلَامِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُبَيِّنْ لَهُ النوافل التي يستحب للمسلم أن يعتني بها بعد الفرائض. And it's from the middle of the page 46. And if you're reading from the English translation, the original one, then it's on page 16 and 17 up until the point where it mentions the types of dhikr, which we'll talk about in the next class. And if you're reading from the second translation, English translation from Dar es Salaam, then we're reading from the top of page 50. Dar es Salaam 51, page 51 and 52, from the Dar es Salaam translation, from page 51 and 52, just to try to, and you have some idea where we are, if you're following somewhat, or trying to follow from the book. Of course, if you're reading from the English translation, the explanation here is not from the book, so, and you can just look at the text of the answer to try to, and you get a concept of the overall picture, and then fill it in with this explanation. So the Shaykh says, Yani, that he was asked, that is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was asked about the obligatory duties which are best that a Muslim give care to after the obligatory duties, and to make clear to him, Yani, ma hiya afdal al-nawafil, what is the best of the voluntary deeds? And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah replies with his saying, wa amma ma sa'alta anhu من أفضل الأعمال بعد الفرائض فإنه يختلف باختلاف الناس فيما يقدرون عليه وما يناسب أوقاتهم. يعني, as for what you have asked concerning the best and the most superior of deeds after the obligatory deeds, then this differs with the differences in the people concerning their ability, what they have the ability to do, and what is more suitable, appropriate for their time, or for that particular time. And the Shaykh says, هذه إجابة عظيمة مسددة. Yani, this is a magnificent answer, yani, in which, and he has really hit the mark with this. He mentions, that is, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions it, yani, بهذا الإجمال, yani, giving the general overall meaning without details or specifics, and that's because the questioner asked him to give the answer, yani, a summary answer instead of a detailed answer. Yani, he has asked him for ijmal, ikhtisar, and ima, yani, meaning to just give the overall answer without the details, to give it the summary brief answer, just alluding to the key points. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah here, yani, makes clear this meaning, and he expands upon it in a number of other places in his books, rahimahullah ta'ala. Yani, in other books he has expanded upon the answer that he gives here, and he has, yani, given, yani, a comprehensive answer in other places, yani, what he has alluded to here, yani, with this general answer. And that is, وَهُوَ أَنَّ الْأَمْرَ يَخْتَلَفْ بِإِخْتِلَافَ النَّاسِ فِي مَا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَيْهِ. This is the first point that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions concerning why a comprehensive detailed answer cannot be given concerning what is the best of the voluntary deeds after obligatory deeds. It's because the people and their abilities differ from one to another. Not everybody has the same ability. So what might be more practical and likely and easy for one person might not be so for the next person. So it may differ, the answer may differ from one person to another because of their abilities. So you find that a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored him with a hafidha, a memory qawiyya, that is very strong, very strong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared this person, yani, with this great memory so that he can memorize hadith and memorize evidences in the religion and memorize the sayings of the scholars, such that that person doesn't pass over any saying of the scholars except that he memorizes it. So this person has been prepared, muhayya li shayin, and he has been given preparation. It has been made easy for him. Allah has made it easy for him by giving him a good memory, while another person doesn't have such a memory. So the question is, فَهَلْ الْمَطْلُوبُ مِنْ هَذَا مِثْلَ الْمَطْلُوبُ مِنْ هَذَا. Yani, do we expect or request from this person the same what we expect from the other one? Yani, the one who has a good memory and the one who doesn't have such a memory. Do we expect the same from both of them? Indeed, the abilities, قُدْرَات, are mukhtalifa. They are different. People have different abilities. One person, his ability is in memorization, and the other person doesn't have the ability to memorize. For this reason, it is a mistake that a person comes to the one that they are raising, that they are educating, that they are nurturing, yani from their early life or from their children. It is a mistake to come to this person and do not pay attention to this aspect concerning the abilities of their children. Yani whoever is raising children or educating or teaching them and doesn't look at the difference between the abilities of one child and another, this is a big mistake. Yani this is something that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah or the scholars have pointed to, such as from amongst them, Al-Allama ibn Qayyim rahimahullah in his book, Tuhfa al-Wadood fi Ahkam al-Mawlood. In that book, he points to this. He points what? To the fact that the scholars and the Salaf, the early generations of the Muslims, rahimahumullah, they used to give care. They used to give attention to this aspect. Yani looking at the different abilities of one person from another in terms of what you expect from them, what you expect them to be able to do. So you find that a person, يعني فيجد الإنسان من أبنائه من عنده عناية بالحفظ والذاكرة قوية جدا. So a person may find that from amongst his children is the one that gives a lot of attention to their memorization, and يعني they have a strong, very very strong memory, while another one doesn't have such a memory. يعني he doesn't have this kind of memory. He doesn't have the ability to memorize. Therefore, paying attention to this aspect, يعني مراعاة هذا الجانب الذي أشار إليه اختلاف الناس فيما يقدرون عليه. يعني so for this reason, it's important to pay attention to this particular manner. That is the differences between the people in terms of what they have the ability to do. يعني some people have the ability to fast, for example, and another person doesn't have this ability for fasting. Yani some people fasting is easy for them and the other person is difficult. So they're not the same. Yani a person should what? Attend to that which they have the ability to do. Yani it might be in terms of fasting that a person doesn't have the ability for fasting due to his health. Yani his health doesn't assist him, or his body, yani his physique, yani doesn't yani help him yani in terms of fasting. It doesn't make it easy for him. And also it might be that a person has some kind of sickness due to which he finds fasting difficult. So this is a mistake. يعني إذا فتح على الإنسان مثلا في باب الصيام. يعني here, if you're following in the Arabic, then there's a mistake in the transcription here. It says إذا فتح على الإنسان مثلا في باب الصيام. It says وفق أو وفق أو وقف. But it should say وفق. يعني it says وقف, it should say وفق في هذا الباب. يعني if a person فتح على الإنسان, meaning he has been given the ability, the success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of fasting, he has been given يعني توفيق, يعني to be able to fast, to do well in fasting. يعني it is a mistake then that somebody who has been given this ability يعني is eager in compelling or forcing other people يعني in terms of fasting because it has been made easy for him. Yani this is the mistake, that you try to force other people to do something that maybe Allah has given you the ability to do and hasn't given other people that same ability. So this person has yani been given the ability in knowledge, for example, and this person has been given the ability in fasting, and this person, another person has been given the ability to what? In commanding the good and forbidding the wrong, and another person yani has been given yani an ability, futiha, it has been made easy for him to do acts of worship and so on. Everyone, yani, kullun ala khayrin. Every one of them has some good, yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the ability to do. And here the Shaykh mentions, yani, the wording that came in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكُلُّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. And this came in a hadith that we mentioned when we're talking about qadr and qadha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Yani, do deeds in spite of what has been decreed. Because every person, it will have been made easy for him to do that which he has been created for. Meaning, if a person was created yani for Jannah, Allah will make easy for him to do good deeds. And if a person was created for the hellfire, Allah will make easy for him to do evil deeds. And I just read today where a brother mentioned a quotation and I didn't really pay a lot of attention to it, but it's related to this point right here. He said each of us should look to what has been made easy for us. And he hasn't been made easy for someone to do, to commit sins, there's a problem. That's a problem. If Allah has made it easy for you to do good deeds, that's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Yani has been made easy. Everyone will have it made easy for him for that which he has been created for. To do in this world and his destination in the next. So be careful and examine yourself and ask Allah's help and his tawfiq to correct the path that we are on if we are off track and to try to do better bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And the tawfiq is only from Allah. So it shouldn't be requested from a person to do the deeds or the acts of worship that he is not or she is not able to do. Yani doesn't have the ability to do. They find it yani yashuqqu alayhi, difficult to do. That person shouldn't be demanded or required to do that which they find difficulty in. Except we're talking about here, right? Voluntary duties. We're not talking about obligatory duties. And a person might find fasting in Ramadan difficult, but that's obligatory. We're not talking about, we're talking here about what? Voluntary duties. A person should not be compelled to do voluntary duties that they find they don't have the ability to do. Rather, they should look for what Allah has made easy for them and yani get into that. Whatever Allah has made easy for them. Rather, we should look at what the person has the ability to do, yani what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made easy for them. Such a person may have been made easy for him knowledge, and another person it has been made easy for him worship. And here the Shaykh says, I will mention a very beneficial story that will make clear this issue. And I'll try to yani, go through the story as quickly as possible for the sake of time. And he says that Al-Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, has mentioned in his book, As-Sir, yani the biographies of the scholars of Islam, in the biography of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that one of the ubbad, person who was engaged yani in worship all the time, a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made easy for him to do acts of worship, salat, siyam, standing in the night, adhkar, remembrance, to other than this. Yani he has been doing a lot of worship. So he wrote to Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Malik, yani, was given the students knowledge and time and teaching them and having, yani, reading to them or having them read to him and narrations of hadith. Imam Malik was engaged in what? Teaching. So this person wrote to Imam Malik a wasiyah, an advice. This abid, the person who was fully engaged in worship, he wrote to Imam Malik, rahimahullah, wasiyah, saying in that wasiyah, yani he is encouraging yahuddu al-Imam Malik al-infirad wal-amal, yani encouraging Imam Malik what? To be solitary, to separate himself from the people and to engage himself in worship. Yani he's saying leave the students, leave teaching, yani be alone by yourself and busy yourself with ibadah and amal, worship and good deeds. So Imam Malik, and if كَتَبَ لِلْإِمَامِ مَالِكِ يَنْسَحُهُ, yani this person is advising Imam Malik with this nasiha, yani the person who, yani a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for him to do worship and the doing of good deeds. And he saw that himself, that he saw himself in this khayr azim, yani this worshipper, he saw that he's in a lot of khayr. He saw that this worship that he's doing is very good, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened for him or made easy for him. So he wrote this advice to Imam Malik, rahimahullah, yani with that, yani advising him to do that which has been made easy for him. So what did this yani al-alim al-jaleel al-imam rahimahullah Imam Malik, what did he yani, how did he respond? He wrote yani, that is al-imam Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah wrote to him, he said, inna Allah qasama al-amal kama qasama al-arzaq, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided, he has distributed the deeds of the people amongst them. Certain people he gave fasting, prayer, charity, whatever, to certain people, knowledge, teaching, learning, whatever, and to other people he gave other things. He distributed the deeds, the actions, amongst the people in the same way that he distributed the sustenance or provisions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that some people have a lot of provisions and other people have less. Some people are rich and some people are poor. In the same way that Allah is the one who has decreed, yani the provisions, that certain people would get different provision, in the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided up the deeds, that some people would do these deeds and other people would have other deeds. So Imam Malik says to him after mentioning this, he says, perhaps sometimes there may be a man who Allah has opened the way for him, made easy for him, as salat. And he has not opened or made the way easy for him, the sawm, fasting. And another person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made easy for them, al-jihad, striving in the way of Allah, fighting in the way of Allah. And here, Al-Imam Malik turns to himself, and he talks about knowledge, teaching and learning. فَنَشْرُ الْعِلْمِ And Imam Malik says to him, نَشْرُ الْعِلْمِ Spreading of knowledge is from the best of virtuous deeds. It's from the best of virtuous deeds. وَقَدْ رَضِيتُ بِمَا فُتِهَ لِي And I am pleased with what Allah has made easy for me. وَمَا أَذُنُّ مَا أَنَا فِيهِ بِدُونِ مَا أَنْتَ فِيهِ And I don't think that what I'm doing, the good that I'm doing in teaching, is any less than what you're doing. And what you're doing is khair, and what I'm doing is khair. I don't think that what I'm doing is any less than what you're doing. Look at the humility of Imam Malik, but the clarity, yani, of the reality of the situation. I don't think that what I'm doing is any less than what you're doing. وَأَرَجُوا أَن يَكُونَ كِلَانَا عَلَى خَيْرٍ وَبِرٍ And I hope and expect that both of us are, yani, upon khair and bir, good and righteousness. Both of us are upon khair wa bir. The Shaykh says, this is kalam ilm, yani this is real, yani knowledge-based speech. I hope that both of us upon khair and bir. Yani you are upon khair and bir in your ibadah and your obedience and your seeking nearness to Allah, and I am also upon khair and bir in spreading knowledge. And then Imam Malik, yani, says to him something that is of critical importance. لِأَنَّ نَشْرَ الْعِلْمِ نَفَعُهُ مُتَعَدٍّ That the spreading of knowledge is benefit, yani, benefits others. يعني متعد mean that it doesn't stay with the one who's doing it. Rather, it benefits others outside of that person. يعني maybe you get up in the night and stand in prayer, that benefits you alone. يعني you fast, that benefits you alone. But the person who spreads knowledge not only benefits themselves, but benefits other people. And this really, this statement from Imam Malik shows the superiority of what he was on as opposed to what the worshipper was upon, even though both of them upon khair. And this spreading of knowledge requires time, yani, for learning and understanding the deen and reviewing and yani mutual studying amongst one another, until the person, yani, has something that they can teach the people with. And it takes time to get this knowledge to teach the people. So whoever busies himself with worship might, yani, not comprehend or grasp this reality, yani, of the state or the status of seeking and spreading and teaching knowledge. He says that perhaps a person might even become, yani, uneasy and disturbed by the sight of books in the hands of the students and how they go forward in seeking the knowledge to memorize these books and to read these books. Perhaps a person might consider this as a type of waste or loss of time, such that, or to the extent that some of them even, yani, who have been, yani, tried or tested, yani, meaning that they were, yani, harmed or hurt due to their ignorance, some of the people who was, yani, in the groups of Sufiya. They say that from the harmful things, yani, that corrupt or spoil, are three. And from amongst those things, they said, is the carrying of books. Yani, wasting time with these books. Yani, they said, do you not know, or do you not know that this is from the things that harm, or that corrupt, or that spoil? Yani, that a person carries the books of hadith and memorize and read them. This is from the ignorance of the people who think that studying and learning is a waste of time, that rather a person should just engage himself in praying and fasting and doing good deeds without knowledge. Without knowledge. And Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said what? Al-ilm qabla al-qawli wal-amali. That knowledge comes first before speech and action. Naam, doing good deeds is of the utmost importance. There is no escape from it. But it has to be based on knowledge. A person has to have knowledge first. But they say this, yani, because of their claim that this seeking knowledge, memorizing and reading books, may, yani, be an impediment from the person of doing deeds and doing acts of worship, And this is a grave, serious mistake. Khata, al-khata al-fadih. This is a terrible mistake for a person to imagine that seeking knowledge impedes a person from doing good deeds. Rather, seeking knowledge enables a person to know what is good deeds in order to do that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who has, Allah has made it easy for them to do worship, and they are engaged and busied with this worship, and they are getting near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this worship, then he is, as Imam Malik rahimahullah said, upon khair and bir. And as for the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for him, in the field of knowledge, then this person is in no less, lower position than the one who is engaged in these acts of worship. And as it came in the hadith, part of a hadith, the Shaykh mentions here, where the Prophet ﷺ said, فَضْلُ الْعَالَمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةِ الْبَدْرِ عَلَى سَعِرُ الْقَوَاكِبِ. That the excellence or the superiority of the alim, the scholar, over the abid, the worshipper, the superiority and the excellence of the scholar over the worshipper is like the superiority of the moon. In the middle of the month, the full moon in the middle of the month, its superiority over the rest of the stars. So the point here, is that in terms of these good deeds of all different types, كُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ, every person, it will be made easy for them to do, that which they have been created for. And every person, will have, something made easy for them, and this is what, they should strive in and struggle in. And don't let any person, let any of the doors of khair, pass them by or escape them. Whatever they are able to do, they should do it. And then the Shaykh says, also from, those things that have been mentioned, that have been narrated concerning this particular topic, is that one of the Salaf, he was in his majlis, in the gathering, teaching the students, giving them understanding of the deen, of the halal and the haram. And he is one of the imams. It is said that his name was Abu As-Suwar Al-Adawi. And this story also points to the same, matter of not, limiting your scope and understanding of things and only seeing that which you are in as being khair, but rather understanding that khair is broad. It's vast. And many people are engaged in khair even though if they're not doing what you are doing. So here he mentions the story of Abu As-Suwar Al-Adawi rahimahullah. There was a young man sitting in his gathering. And this scholar, he was giving the people understanding, of the deen, of the halal and haram, and the other things that the scholars teach the people. And this young man interrupted him in the middle of his teaching, and he said, Sabbihu ya ikhwan, hallilu, udhkurullah. This is while the daras is going on, he just gets up and he tells the people, say subhanallah, say la ilaha illallah, say, remember Allah, make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh is teaching the people the halal and the haram and the ahkam of Islam. And this man, this young boy, this young person, he says, Ya Ikhwan, say Subhanallah, say La ilaha illallah, remember Allah. Now this person is eager and diligent. He didn't say this from some evil intent, for some evil intent or evil objective or purpose. Rather, Allah has subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for him, in this area of virtuous deeds, that is dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. So he saw these people occupied with the halal and haram, and he didn't comprehend, he didn't realize the value of this affair, the status of this affair, the severe need for people to know what Allah has made lawful and what Allah has made unlawful. So he interrupts them and he tells them, say subhanallah, say la ilaha illallah, remember Allah, and so on. So the Shaykh says to him, the Abu Suwar, he says, Wayhak, woe to you. وَمَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ مُنْذُ الْيَوْمِ الَّذِي نَحْنُ مُشْتَغِلِينَ فِيهِ مُنْذُ الْيَوْمِ مَا هُوَ هَذَا كُلُّهُ ذِكْرٌ لِلَّهِ. And he said, what do you think that we have been doing all day here? And he tells, remember Allah, what is it that you think that we have been doing here, that we have been occupied with all day? This, what we have been doing, it is, all of it, it is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, the gatherings of halal and haram, the gatherings where it is mentioned what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, where it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where it is mentioned that this is permissible and this is not permissible, where it is mentioned that this is halal and this is haram, هذه كلها مجالس ذكر لله. يعني all of these are gatherings for the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and they are a part of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said in a hadith, يعني إذا مررتم برياض الجنة فارتعوا. قالوا وما رياض الجنة؟ قال حلق الذكر. يعني the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you walk by one of the gardens of paradise, then يعني feast in it, enjoy it, enjoy it, enjoy the garden. They said, what are the gardens of paradise? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يعني the gatherings of dhikr, يعني the gatherings of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are gatherings in which the deen of Allah is being made clear. These are gatherings of dhikrullah, where the deen of Allah is being made clear, where the ahkam, the legal rulings, are being made clear, where people are being given fiqh, or understanding of the deen, where people come to know the halal and the haram and the ahkam of Allah. All of this is from the gatherings of dhikrullah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this makes us to understand completely that when we are talking about dhikrullah, and we will come to the end of this answer in the next gathering, in our next class inshallah, where Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions this point, that yani dhikrullah is not just what people understand as saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. Dhikrullah is broader than that. Everything that brings a person near to Allah, of speech or action, yani reflection, contemplation, teaching, learning, giving da'wah, enjoining the good, forbidden, all of this is from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, and the Shaykh goes to the second matter that should be yani examined or carefully looked at in terms of deciding what is the best of virtuous deeds after the obligatory deeds, and that is the consideration of what is most appropriate or suitable in terms of the time. قَالَ وَمَا يُنَاسِبْ أَوْقَاتَهُ. Yani that which is most suitable for the person's time at that time or that situation or that occasion. That this is also something that we have to make note of, yani in terms of knowing, ma'rifatu al-afdal min al-a'mal, ma yunasib al-waqt. Yani in terms of what is, knowing what is the best of deeds, we have to know what is appropriate for that particular time, that situation or that occasion. If we know, for example, that a salat is afdal al-a'mal, the best of deeds, and if we know that qira'atul Qur'an, the recitation of the Qur'an, for example, is the best of dhikr, of the best of dhikr is recitation of the Qur'an. And if we know, for example, that a dhikr is afdal min ad-du'a, that dhikr is better than supplication. Hakadha min hayth al-ijmal. Yani, generally speaking, it's like this. Yani, that the best of these is salat, and that the recitation of the Qur'an is the best of dhikr, and dhikr is better than dua. Generally speaking, if we know this, it is like this, then there are sometimes, yet in spite of that, there are sometimes, yani, نَجِدُ أَنَّهُ فِي بَعْضَ الْأَوْقَاتِ يَكُونُ الدُّعَى أَفْضَلُ. Yet as sometimes dua may be better than yani recitation of the Qur'an, or even salat. At certain times, yani those times in which there's a narration or something has come to us concerning dua in that particular time, then dua in that particular time is better than recitation of the Quran. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited, for example, recitation of the Quran while a person is in prostration, and he said akthiru min ad-du'a, yani in sajda. Naam. So what is best in the sajda, recitation of the Qur'an or dua? Dua is better in that particular situation or circumstance. So in this way we say that at dua, and even increasing the dua, Yani while the person is in prostration, then this is better than recitation of the Quran. While a person is in prostration, this is better than recitation of the Quran. Although, yani, in spite of the fact that in general, yani, haythal jumla, overall, yani, if we look at it overall, then tilawatul Quran, recitation of Quran, is better than dua and is better than dhikr. Yani, in general, Quran is the best and dhikr is next and dua is next. However, there might be a certain time in which the mafdool, that which is less preferable, may become better than the fadl, that which is considered to be superior or better. Yani, that which is less becomes better than that which is superior. لِأَجْلِ الْوَقْت. Yani, due to the time. Due to the time. And here the Shaykh, he says, yani, that which is the general opinion of the scholars, and I might not have time to comment on this point, but I do want to like make a note here. But anyway, the example the Shaykh gives here is, for example, you have after the Asr Salat, a waqt, a time in which it is prohibited from Salat. A time in which it is prohibited from Salat. My note that I just want to make here is that, and this is the general opinion of the scholars, and it's based on the hadith that's in Bukhari and other books. However, there are other hadith which make clear to us that it is permissible to pray after Asr. Voluntary prayer, sunnah prayer, in the early time of the Asr, if a person prays immediately after the Asr prayer. But the later time, it is prohibited to pray in that time. And the reason why I want to say this is just in case, yani, a person stands up after the Asr prayer and prays two rak'ah, there's no harm in doing so. It is sunnah. It's confirmed. It's in Bukhari and it's other, in other books, in a lot of hadith and from a lot of companions, including Aisha radiallahu anha. And I'll just mention one of those hadith just to make the point, yani, that the hadith in Bukhari where Aisha radiallahu anha says, she said, مَا كَانَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَأْتِينِي فِي يَوْمٍ بَعْدَ الْعَصْرِ إِلَّا صَلَّى رَكَعْتَيْنِ. Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never came to me in my house after Asr except that he prayed two rak'ah. And in some of the narration, it makes it clear that this was after a time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was engaged with a delegation at the time of Dhuhr, and he didn't pray the sunnahs of Dhuhr, and he wasn't able to pray them until after Asr, and he prayed them after Asr. And Aisha says he never abandoned those two rak'ah after Asr until he died. Yani, for the rest of his life he prayed after Asr, and Ali and Abdul ibn Malik and Bilal and other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed after Asr, and this is confirmed in authentic hadith. And Shaykh Al-Albani, yani, rahimahullah, has a lot of researches concerning this. If somebody, yani, wants to see them, we can refer you to them. Just remind me, inshallah. In any case, the general, yani, ruling or position of the scholars is that, based on the hadith that's in Bukhari, that there's no prayer after Fajr until sunrise, and there's no prayer after Asr until sunset. And we're saying that this should be muqayyad by what? Yani, meaning that this general prohibition is specified to be in the later time, yani, close to the time of Maghrib, as far as immediately after Asr, it's permissible to pray in that time. Wallahu a'lam. The Shaykh gives the example concerning the view of the majority of scholars of the prohibition of praying after Asr. This is a prohibited time, and that al-afdal ba'da al-asr adhkar al-masa. What is better after Asr is to engage in the words of remembrance of the evening, yani adhkar al-masa, and tilawatul Quran. And if a person wanted to pray, and he says, I want to stand up and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, voluntary prayers, and we say this is definitely applicable if it's in the later time, yani close to Maghrib. If a person wanted to pray in that time, it will be said to him, laysa waqtu salat. This is not the time for salat, and that person should be prohibited from praying in that time. Yani, if the person has already prayed Asr, yani, and we say, yani, if it's close to the time for Maghrib, this is a time that is prohibited for salat. So, in therefore, yani, paying attention to the time, this is also something that we will base our knowledge of what is better. What is better, yani, in terms of the voluntary deeds, that we should consider what the time, what is better might be according to the time. And for this reason, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, it's not possible then to give an answer that is comprehensive, that is detailed for every individual, because times may be different, people's abilities may be different. So it may differ from one person or from one time to another, what is better. However, what is possible is to give a general rule, a qa'ida, concerning this bab that is confirmed, I mean, that is strong, that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah points to, And likewise, it was pointed to and explained in detail by his student, Al-Alama Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala. This is a qa'ida. And these qa'ida principles are very important for us to learn because they cover so many issues. What is the qa'ida here? In reference to time. In reference to time. What is better in reference to time? The best of deeds in consideration of time. And al-afdal fi bab al-nawafil fi kulli waqtin al-awfaq lis-sunnah. Yani, what is better in terms of voluntary deeds in every specific time? What's better is that which is awfaq li sunnah. Yani, that which is in agreement with the sunnah. It's closer to agreement with what the sunnah has specified for that particular time. This is the qaida. Yani, that which is better in every time is that which is more in agreement with the sunnah for that particular time. So for example, a person has in their hand the Quran and they are reading it, reciting it. And this qira'ah is from the best of good deeds that a person can do. The muezzin calls the adhan while you are reading the Quran. Is it better that you continue reading the Quran or that you stop the reading of Quran and answer the muezzin? Yani, when the muezzin says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, should you stop reading the Quran and say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, or should you just keep reading the Quran? Yani, now the time for the adhkar, that's the one example. I think it's clear though. I mean, the answer to the question is that you should stop, because what is legislated here, according to the sunnah, is that you respond to the muezzin and repeat the words of the muezzin. This is what the sunnah requires of us. In that time, it's better to do that, because that is awfaq li sunnah. Yani, that is what is yani muwaffaq li sunnah. Closer to being in agreement with the sunnah. He gives another example. The Shaykh says, the time for the adhkar as-sabah, yani the words of remembrance that we say in the morning after fajr until sunrise, or whatever time we might say them. Yani, the best time is after fajr until sunrise. The time for the adhkar as-sabah came, or the adhkar al-masa, the evening adhkar, which is after asr until maghrib, it's preferable time, or similar to that. So what is nearer to being in agreement with the sunnah? Huwa al-afdal. This is what is best. What is nearer to being in agreement with the sunnah? Al-afdal, yani that which is best in every time is that which is closer to the sunnah in that particular time. And this is a qaida sharifa, a noble and honorable principle, yani in concerning the subject of al-mufadala. What is most excellent or superior in doing good deeds? What is the best of deeds? It is like what Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, it's not possible to give a completely comprehensive, detailed answer for every single individual, but that which is best in every particular time is that which is closer to being in agreement with the sunnah for that particular time. لكن مما هو كالإجماع. This is going back to the original answer of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. He said, even though I can't give a specific detailed answer for every individual, however what we can give is that which is pretty much like consensus. يعني إجماع بين العلماء بالله وأمره. Amongst the scholars, يعني the ulama of Allah and the ulama of His command, or His يعني commandments or ahkam. That which is pretty much in agreement amongst the scholars of Allah and His command is that a person stick to the dhikr of Allah all the time. That this is the best thing that an abd can busy himself with overall. This is the best thing in general that a person can busy himself with. So we should try to look at our lives, our daily lives, and see how much time we are wasting in which we are not engaged in remembrance of Allah. Yani, the dhikr of Allah in these words and the contemplation and reflection of the heart, as well as teaching and learning and seeking knowledge and joining the good and forbid, yani, we should look at how much time we are wasting in which we are not engaged in the dhikr of Allah, and correct our lives and rectify our lives bi-idhnillahi ta'ala by asking for His help and His aid and seeking diligently to do that which is pleasing to Him. The Shaykh says, what we want to look at here is this expression that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions, يعني the إجماع بين العلماء بالله وبأمر الله. يعني the scholars of Allah and the rulings or the commands or the laws of Allah. It has been transmitted, or he has transmitted, that is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has transmitted a number of places in his books from one of the scholars of the Salaf, and his name is Abu Hayyan At-Taymi rahimahullah, that he said al-ulama thalathatun, that the scholars are three types: alimun billahi, a scholar who is a scholar of Allah, laysa alimun bi amrillah, he's a scholar of Allah but he's not a scholar concerning the rulings, the laws of Allah. And the second one is alimun bi amrillah, laysa aliman billahi, yani a scholar who is a scholar knowledgeable of the laws of Allah, but he's not the alim billahi, in Allah himself. And the third one is alimun billahi wa alimun bi amrillah, yani the scholar who is the scholar of Allah and the scholar of the laws of Allah. So what do we mean by alim billahi, and what do we mean by alim bi amrillahi? The Shaykh, he says, وَالْعَالَمْ بِاللَّهِ, yani what do we mean by عَالَمْ بِاللَّهِ? The one who is knowledgeable of Allah. الَّذِي يَخَافُ اللَّهِ وَيُعَذِّمُ اللَّهِ وَيَخْشَى اللَّهِ, as Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, yani the عَالَمْ بِاللَّهِ is the one who fears Allah, the one who glorifies and magnifies Allah, the one who has awe of Allah. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, the ulama are the only people who really have khashya of Allah from amongst his servants. They are the ulama, the people who have knowledge of Allah. Yani here he means what? Those who fear Allah, who have awe of Allah, who glorify and magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what he means by al-alam billahi, wal-alam bi-amrillah. And the other type of scholar who has knowledge of the ahkam of Allah, he said, الَّذِي يَعْرِفُ الْحَلَالُ وَالْحَرَامُ وَالْأَحْكَامُ, the one who knows those things which are lawful and those things which are haram, and knows the ahkam, the legal rulings of Islam. So here, he, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, says that it is like a consensus amongst the ulama, billahi wa amrillah, those scholars who are scholars of Allah and scholars of the laws of Allah. This is a consensus amongst these scholars. Yani again he repeats, al-alam billahi, meaning الَّذِي يَخَافُونَ اللَّهُ وَيَخْشُونَهُ وَيُعَذِّمُونَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, those who have fear of Allah and who are in awe of Allah and who magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the scholar of the amrillah, it means الَّذِينَ يَعْرِفُونَ الْعَمْرُ وَالنَّحِي وَالْحَلَالُ وَالْحَرَامُ وَالْأَحْكَامُ, the people who have knowledge of the commands and the prohibitions and the lawful and the unlawful and the legal rulings of Islam. So there is consensus among these scholars who have knowledge of what? Of Allah, who fear Allah, and who have knowledge of the laws of Allah. They have fear of Allah, and they have knowledge of the laws of Allah. They have reached consensus that what? That sticking to the remembrance of Allah all the time is the best thing that an abd can busy oneself with overall in general. And this is because, very important point here, Shaykh al-Islam, the Shaykh here mentions, Shaykh Abdul Razak mentions, فَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى هُوَ مَقْصُودُ الْأَعْمَالِ, yani this is because what? Because the remembrance of Allah is what is intended, the maqsood, yani the hadaf, the ghaya, this is the objective, this is the goal of whatever we do. The goal is what? Yani every good deed that we do, its objective, its purpose, yani is to for the remembrance of Allah. Yani as-salat, it has been legislated in the sharia li-ajlihi, yani for the remembrance of Allah. And the Hajj has been legislated in Islam for the remembrance of Allah. And all types of acts of obedience and different types of deeds have all been legislated for the remembrance of Allah. لِيَقَامَةِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And I have mentioned here, yani the Shaykh didn't mention this here, I mentioned this here, the expression that he used, لِيَقَامَةِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that it all has been legislated for the establishment of the remembrance of Allah. We can go back to the 20th surah, Taha, 14th ayat, the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the salat for the remembrance of me, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says that, yani it has been legislated, Allah has legislated for his worshippers, all types of worship, التي المقصود منها, and what is intended by them, is إِقَامَةِ ذِكْرِهِ وَخُصُوصًا الصَّلَاةِ, yani all of it, what is intended by it, is the remembrance of Allah, and especially the salat. In any case, the Shaykh, he says what? That the remembrance of Allah is really the objective, the goal, the purpose of every good deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. It is for the establishment of remembrance of Him. Therefore, in general, overall, the best of good deeds is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is أفضل ما شغلت به الأوقات is the best thing that a person's time can be occupied with. It is the best thing that a person may spend their life with. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here the Shaykh mentions the two evidences that prove the superiority of the dhikr of Allah. Yani the hadith of Abu Hurairah that is reported by Imam Muslim. Yani that the mufarriduna, that they have outdone, they have outstripped, they have left everyone else behind. Sabaqa al-mufarridun. They said, O Messenger of Allah, who are the mufarridun? He said, al-dhakirun Allah kathiran wal-dhakirat. Yani those men who remember Allah a lot and those women who remember Allah a lot, kathiran. Not a little bit, once in a while, but as much as possible. And this indicates the excellence that the dhakirin, those who remember Allah, have outdone everyone. They have left everyone else behind. In this hadith, it is as though yani he is making clear that the people who do righteous good deeds are on a racetrack. And he's saying that the mufarridun, yani, they have outdone, they have left everyone else behind. When they ask who are those mufarridun, it is those men and women who remember Allah a lot. So the people of worship and the people of obedience and the people who do deeds of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as though they are on a racetrack. And those who remember Allah a lot, they have outdone everyone else on the racetrack. And here he mentions another hadith, the hadith of Abu Dawood from Abi al-Darda radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hadith, yani we mentioned last week and we alluded to it today, a very important hadith. Shall I not inform you of the best of your deeds? خَيْرُ أَعْمَالِكُمْ بِخَيْرِ أَعْمَالِكُمْ وَأَزْكَاهَا, and the most pure of them in the مَلِكِكُمْ, with your King Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَرْفَعِهَا فِي دَرَجَاتِكُمْ, and that which raised to the highest levels or highest degrees, and that which is خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِعْطَاءِ الذَّهَبُ وَالْوَرَقِ, yani that which is better for you. Listen to what the Prophet ﷺ is saying here, the best of your deeds, most pure of your deeds, the highest degrees, the best, that which is better for you than giving in charity gold and silver, and better for you, مِنْ أَنْ تَلْقَوْا أَدُوَّكُمْ فَتَضْرِبُوا أَعْنَاقَهُمْ وَيَضْرِبُوا عَنَاقَكُمْ, yani better for you than meeting your enemy on the battlefield and you striking their necks and they striking your necks, meaning being killed in the way of Allah. Look at how, yani here again, yani in the transcript it says, أُنْظُرْ هَذَا التَّشْبِيهِ الْعَظِيمِ. It should say, أُنْظُرْ هَذَا التَّشْوِيقِ, yani شَوَّقَ, يُشَوِّقُ, تَشْوِيقِ الْعَظِيمِ مِنْ هَذَا النَّاسِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ بِهَذِهِ الْمُقَدِّمَاتِ. Yani look at yani this tremendous yani arousing of desire or longing, how Allah has put into the souls of the, how the Prophet ﷺ has put into the souls of the people a longing to know what is this deed that is all of this that he has mentioned here. By all of these preliminary statements, shall I not inform you of such and such and so, yani meaning creating or developing or arousing in the hearts of the people a desire or a longing for this great affair. And for this reason, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, O Messenger of Allah, what is it? They said, inform us of this great matter that is better than other deeds and is more pure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and raise us to higher degrees and is better than giving gold and silver, yani, and is better than meeting a person meeting the enemy and striking his neck and the enemy striking his neck, that is dying in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is the remembrance of Allah. It is the remembrance of Allah. And yani, we're coming yani, maybe near the end of what we can cover from this topic today. Yani, he says that this indicates that the best thing, yani, indicates the superiority of dhikr. And this is as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, yani, in general, overall, min haythu al-jumla, that the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of deeds overall. And that it is the best thing that a person can occupy their time with and spend their life in. It is the thing which all acts of obedience, ta'at and ibadat, acts of worship, they have all been legislated for this purpose, for the remembrance of Allah. And here the Shaykh mentions another qa'ida, another principle, a qa'ida. أَفْضَلُ أَهْلِ كُلِّ ta'atin أَكْثَرُهُمْ فِيهَا ذِكْرًا لِلَّهِ. This is a very important principle. Yani, try to think of how we can apply this in our life. Yani, أَفْضَلُ أَهْلِ كُلِّ ta'atin. Yani, the best of every people who do some act of obedience. whatever act of obedience it is, whether it's prayer, fasting, charity, whatever, the best of people, of the people of every act of obedience, is أَكْثَرُهُمْ فِيهَا ذِكْرًا لِلَّهِ, is the one who remembers Allah the most in it. And of all the people that do prayers, the best of them is the one who remembers Allah the most in it. Of all the people who give charity, the best of people who give charity is the one who remembers Allah the most in giving charity, and so on. And the Shaykh, he says that this is a noble, yani, and a great qaida in terms of in the area of ibadat, acts of worship. This is a noble principle that the best of the people of every act of good deed, every good deed, every act of worship, the best of people in every category of worship is the one who is most amongst them in the remembrance of Allah while they are doing that good deed. If we have a hadith on يُرْفَعْ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and this point, this principle, is based upon a hadith that's attributed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and that hadith is reported by Ahmed and others on the authority of Sahal ibn Mu'adh رضي الله عنه, yani that, yani the Shaykh mentions the hadith here, yani in brief, but if the hadith is reported Imam Ahmed, yani it's attributed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that it was said to him, أَيُّ الصَّائِمِينَ أَعْظَمُ أَجْرًا, yani which of the people who fast is will be the greatest in reward, and he said, the one from amongst them who remembers Allah the most. And it was said, and who of the people who make Umrah will be have the most reward? And he said, the one from amongst them who remembers Allah the most. And it was mentioned to him different types of worship, like Salat and Zakat and Hajj and Sadaqah and so on. And in every one of them, the Prophet said, the one who is the most of them in the remembrance of Allah. And here he says that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah has mentioned this in his book Al-Wabil al-Sayyib, and his book of supplications, he mentioned it, and he has derived this from this hadith, he has derived this qa'idah, yani that the best of the people of every class of worship, of every type of good deed, is the one who remembers Allah the most in that good deed. He has derived this principle, yani here, from this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore he says the best of the people who fast are those who remember Allah the most in their fasting, and the best of the people who perform pilgrimage are those who remember Allah the most in their pilgrimages, and the best of the people in prayers are those who remember Allah the most in their prayers, and so on. And finally, the Shaykh closes here with this final statement, which is not the end of his answer, but it's the end of what we can cover today. قال رحمه الله تعالى والدلائل القرآنية والإيمانية. الدلائل القرآنية والإيمانية, two types of evidences, Quranic evidences and Iman evidences. بصرا وخبرا ونظرا, يعني بصرا, that which is seen or witnessed, خبرا, that which is, that you are informed of by narration, نظرا, يعني that which you understand by insight, yani by reflection, yani the evidences of al-Quran, al-dalail al-Quraniyya wal-Imaniyya, basaran wa khabran wa nadran ala dhalik kathira, yani on that there are many evidences, Quranic evidences and Imani evidences, that prove this point of the superiority of the dhikr of Allah over all other voluntary deeds, yani after the fulfillment of the obligatory deeds. Here the Shaykh explains each one of these expressions. He says, الدلال القرآنية, he says, as far as the evidences that are in the Qur'an or indications that are in the Qur'an, the evidences are many that indicate the superiority of dhikr and the greatness of its of the reward of its people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the saying of Allah, yani in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:41, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ذُكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَصَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور. To the end of the ayah, that all you who believe, remember Allah with much remembrance and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and in the evening, and He is the one, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yani blesses, who grants His blessings to you and also His angels in order to remove you out of darkness into light. And also he mentioned the ayah in the same surah, Surah Al-Ahzab 33:35. وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ عَدَّ اللَّهَ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And this is in reference to what? The categories of people, the worship of Allah, and from amongst them he mentioned الذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and al-dhakirat, those who remember Allah, men and women who remember Allah a lot, Allah is prepared for them and those who were mentioned before them, maghfiratan, forgiveness, wa ajran azeeman, and a great reward, that is al-jannah. And the ayat with this meaning in the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala are many. And then he says, wal imaniya ad-dala'il, the indications, yani the imani indications, dala'il al-imaniya, he said it means shawahid al-iman. Yani the things that are borne witness to, due to a person having iman. Yani the mu'min who has iman, they are shawahid of that iman, yani that point that are in the heart of the human being, yani things that bear witness to this fact of the excellence and superiority of dhikr over all other things. He said that those shawahid that are in the heart of the believers, yani yubsiruha ahlul iman, it is seen by the people of iman, wa yu'ayinunaha, and they look at it, they examine with their iman these matters, wa yushahidunaha, and they witness these things due to their iman. Yani that points to what? The excellence and superiority of dhikr over all other voluntary deeds. And for this reason, yani the Shaykh, he mentions different types of indications, basaran, khabaran, and nadaran, that which is seen, that which is person is informed about through narration, and that which a person understands through insight by reflection and contemplation. He says the meaning of this is what? A fima yushahiduhu ahlul iman. Yani that which the people of iman see. Yani they are indications of evidences of the superiority of dhikr that yani are witnessed by the people of iman. And also there's akhbar, yani khabar, he said, that are conveyed or transmitted, yani the knowledge that comes from the sunnah and so on, akhbar, that is transmitted showing the excellence of dhikr and the greatness of the benefit that, or the advantage, or the gain, or the advantage that comes to a person as a result of their remembrance of Allah. And so we find there's very magnificent and lofty, yani akhbar, yani narrations that have been transmitted that indicate the dalail wadiha, with clear indications, the excellence of dhikr in the hadith, there are so many, and the greatness of its effect, and the magnitude of the benefit, or the gain, or the advantage that comes back to a person by the remembrance of Allah. For those who remember Allah, men and women who remember Allah a lot. And finally he says, nadharan a, yani here when he said, yani these types of evidences of iman, he said, nadharan a ma yakumu fi basair wal qulub min mu'ayina wa mushahada, yani that which is from insight, yani in the hearts, that which yani a person understands, the indication that a person understands in their heart from that which they see, that which they examine, that which they witness, that shows the makana of dhikr, yani the status or the station of dhikr, the magnificence of its station, and the highness or the loftiness of its degree or its elevation. And then he said, yani basaran khabaran nadaran ala dhalik kathira, yani that these evidences on the excellence of dhikr yani are many, from all these different types of indications and evidences showing the superiority of dhikr and its yani foremost position and its lofty station. Now, so I close by reminding myself first and each of us that we have to reflect upon these matters yani carefully, in the hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His mercy and His favor upon us, He opens our heart to be receptive to what we are hearing here, so that we actually attempt, by the permission of Allah, that we have in our heart a desire, and that we strive and struggle and make an attempt to implement that which we are learning in our real lives every day. And life is short, life is fleeting, this dunya is passing away. Whoever doesn't take advantage of it today, there's no guarantee that you will live to take advantage tomorrow. Any time cannot be borrowed. If you don't use it, you lose it. May Allah grant us success, tawfiq, to remain firm, to understand His deen, to be upon this sunnah, and to live by it. Live by it. And if Allah grants us tawfiq, then know this is the favor of Allah. It's not because you're greater than anyone else. Be humble. Be submissive. Don't be proud and arrogant amongst the people. Humble yourself amongst the people. Worship Allah. Help the people. Assist the people. Call to the way of Allah. Call to the sunnah. And hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us steadfastness, al-thabat, until we return to Him in a condition that we are pleasing to Him and pleased with him. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And if anybody didn't put their name on the attendance record, please put your name before you leave. Naam, Mahmoud. Huh? Yes, I want to give a quick reminder. Just quickly, really. Just give me less than 1 minute, inshallah. There are some Muslim women who have organized a party, which is dancing and singing. And what do they call this dance? Twitter or twitting or twerking?
Twerking.
Twerking, I don't know what it is. But I've been told that it means that the women shake their body, I'm ashamed to even say this, in a sexually provocative manner. The Kafir women do this in front of men.
Right.
And these women have made a party, it costs $25 to get in, where the Muslim women are going to come and they're going to do this. They're going to have a contest who can shake their body the most sexually provocative way. And what would Muslim women want to go to something like this for? And they're advertising it on Facebook, and some of them are definitely from Brooklyn, and they're in our masajid, and they're inviting people to it. Men should know, warn your wives, your children, your daughters, your sisters, and women should warn one another. No Muslim should participate in this kind of activity. I want to describe it, but I don't know what word to describe it with. It's certainly not something that's lawful for Muslims in any situation or circumstance, especially in this society where homosexuality and lesbianism is the order of the day, even amongst Muslims. Don't imagine that it's not amongst Muslims. Whoever allows their women, their daughter, their sister, their wife, their mother, to go to such a gathering is a day youth that is prohibited from entering the Jannah. A person who doesn't care about their women, who has no yani honor, no sense of honor or respect for their women. May Allah protect us from this kind of filth. They are advertising it. And some of the women are in these masjids in our city here, and they're calling people from other places. They invited over 180 people, and maybe half of them accepted. What do they call that? Reserve, I mean, RVSV, I don't know what you say, what?
RSVP,
yani, reserve. They reserve the place. Yani, definitely I'm coming. Protect yourself from such. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Now.